move on to item 8 today. Members might recall in the last couple of years, with the help of Paul, we have arranged groups of Worcester Polytechnic Institute students from the United States to do studies on aspects of our harbourfront. This year, we have a group of students working on Victoria Harbour marine uses and land water interfaces. I believe they have not completed the all the fields yet. The power is this is a progress report, right?
Chairman, I'm sure that the students can explain all the details, but this is a progress report, and they're finishing up, I think, March 4, but I think that they can get, answer all the questions that you may have, Chairman.
Okay. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, from the United States. I guess 8 of you. Hope you enjoy Chinese New Year here in Hong Kong. Paul, you want to say something up front before they start?
No, Chairman, I have had one meeting a week with the team, and I'm confident that they're fully prepared to inform you, and I think they have an exciting presentation for you.
Please go ahead, please.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having us. We are the Designing Hong Kong Waterfront team. I'm Eric Rosenau.
My name is Alexander Mir.
I'm Alexander Wong.
We're set with our project goals, so we want to turn Victoria Harbour into a living harbour. Now, what is a living harbour? We define a living harbour as a harbour that has symbiotic, mutually beneficial uses for all of the users. So that's recreation, that's commercial, that's industrial. Now, how do we do this? We've divided up the entire waterfront, all 42 kilometers of it, into 23 action areas. We've lost this waterfront twice. We have had a checklist with us that we check off any marine uses or users or land-water interfaces that we see, whether that's landing steps, marinas, cargo working areas. We'll define all of these shortly. We also conducted 30 interviews and had a stakeholder conference where we interviewed many of the marine users, and this was mostly to try and get an idea of the projections for the future, where the users of Victoria Harbour are going to be going in the future. So we also, once we're finished with the project, we'll be leaving everyone with, of course, the hard copy of the final write-up, but also we are making a Google Earth database. Google Earth is a program that has maps for the entire world in it. You can add all sorts of user-generated content, so we are putting in every single one of the land-water interfaces we find. You can see here, these are all the land-water interfaces we found, so we have landing steps, piers, all that sort of thing. We've also put in lots of other valuable resources, such as container terminals, fairways for all the ships, typhoon shelters, and this will be available for everyone. You'll be able to use it in Google Maps, and it's very easy to use. So we thought a good place to start from here would be with the history of Victoria Harbour and Hong Kong. So Hong Kong was obviously a fishing community when it began, so there was a rich history of water usage, land-water interfaces in Hong Kong. And as we've reclaimed the harbor through the years, we've lost a lot of these land-water interfaces. And going forward, it would be a shame to lose a lot of the users. So we're going to try and make recommendations so we can keep all of these users as we go forward in the future.
Now we're going to talk a little bit about the facilities that we're going to be talking about later in the presentation. So the first and probably most important facility in the harbor is sheltered water and typhoon shelters. In our presentation, we're going to define sheltered water as any area inside of the harbor that is has reduced wave action. Typhoon shelters are a subset of the sheltered water. They're specifically denoted by the Marine Department as typhoon shelters and are safe to store a boat during the typhoon. Cargo working areas are areas where small cargo handlers can load or unload cargo. Generally, these are river transport vessels. landing steps or staircases built into the front of the seawall that are generally designed to load and unload passengers. Piers are defined as walkways over the water supported by piles of piers, and they're used to add additional space to the waterfront. This one in particular is to add 6 more landing steps to the waterfront in Central. Marinas can be public or private clubs which cater to leisure vessels. They're defined by their components, which are an access road, parking for cars, a clubhouse for members, slipways to roll boats into the water, moorings to tie them up, a hoist to lift the boats into the water, and a boatyard for boat repair and boat storage. Now let's take a look at the people who use Victoria Harbor. This is a distribution of the various usage zones of the harbor for each of the major marine usage groups. You have fishing, recreation, community, cruises, ferry services, the government, ocean-going cargo, and industrial marine facilities. The arrows next to each type of marine user indicate the predicted future trends that we see for that user group based on data we have collected. The red indicates that they will decrease, yellow indicates no change, and green probably means an increase. This is a more general breakdown of where the users are in the harbor. We have industrial and commercial on the left, ferry services in the middle, and recreational users in the eastern part of the harbor. Industrial users are one of the largest marine user groups in Victoria Harbor. Shipping industry is still one of the cornerstones of the Hong Kong economy. The ocean-going cargo facilities are concentrated in the blue area in the northwest because the ships need a lot of space and there's easy accessibility to the sea, open seas from there. And then you have the smaller-scale industrial facilities scattered all around the purple areas, which are public cargo working areas. According to the Marine Department, the Hong Kong's annual cargo throughput is still going up, but compared to cities such as Singapore and Shanghai, Hong Kong has lost its lead, is now in third place. The downward trend is just the recession. But with the distribution of the public cargo working areas, they are changing. Those in Kwantung, Cha Kwa Ling, and Hong Kong are going to disappear shortly because those areas are being rezoned for other purposes such as residential. And we should also note that the recycling industry at Kwantung will be moving towards Chaiwan. On the other hand, the tourism sector is growing rapidly. We have a lot of people coming in from cruise ships, so we should focus on how they use Victoria Harbor. There's currently only one pier in Victoria Harbor that services cruise vessels, and that's the Ocean Terminal in western Tsim Sha Tsui. However, a larger facility is scheduled to be built at the tip of the Kai Tak runway. So tourists coming to Victoria Harbor also patronize various tourism boats, such as these junks, floating restaurants, and just take general tours of the harbor. And what those businesses require is space for actual ticketing kiosks, not just an impromptu table and desk like this person doing here. Another problem that they face is getting their passengers on and off their boats, especially if the side of the boat is much higher than the sampan they often have to take to get to said vessel. And the Hong Kong Tourism Board, their statistics indicate that the number of tourists is increasing and that it will continue to increase, and that a recent study conducted at the airport showed a percentage of tourists participating in harbor tours has also gone up from 14% in 2005 to 24% in 2008. As a result, we would recommend that more piers be added for their use in areas such as Eastern Tsim Sha Tsui or in the West Kowloon Cultural District and Kai Tak Airport runway again when those construction zones are completed, as well as having better quality piers, as well as mooring space for tourism vessels in the harbor, such as in the Toka Wan Typhoon Shelter. Ferries are another significant user group in the harbor. The dots in this image represent all the ferry piers.
including the cross-boundary ferries such as the Hong Kong-Macau ferry terminal. Are the green lines, are the routes between various piers and to areas such as outside of Victoria Harbor. Note that there's a high concentration of routes going to the west from the central area. And we also recommend that more ferry piers be built, again, at the West Kowloon Cultural District and the Kai Tak Runway, because there should be easily accessible transportation to and from those areas when the construction concludes.
An often overlooked class of harbor users are the small harbor businesses. They include users such as launches, water taxis, sampans, fishing vessels, fishing transportation vessels, and small cargo transports. They're the primary users of the landing steps and public piers seen here throughout the harbor. And while fishing is going down over the last few years in the harbor in terms of licensed vessels to the Marine Department, transportation of fish in the harbor is still an important part. We see here what they need really is road access along with a place to park their trucks. Here they had to rip away the fence in order to facilitate the use of the landing set. Small cargo vessels form a vital link between many businesses, though their jobs don't always take them near landing steps. In their opinion, the more landing steps in the harbor, the better. Road access is also important to these people. Passenger transport is formed from water taxis, sampans, launches. Basically what they need here is covered waiting areas, lighting for when it's dark or raining. They need railings and access to the road, as well as appropriate signage, letting people know that they're there. Also, getting on and off these vessels, as we've seen earlier, can be dangerous, so having life buoys nearby is a must. This is an example of a bad waiting area. Though there is covered seating, there's no easy way to get to the launch on the left-hand side of the picture. We saw half a dozen people climbing over this fence to try to get onto this boat. This is another fire landing step, this time in Causeway Bay Typhoon Shelter. Notice on the upper left there's a makeshift covering for people to wait. They expand it out when it's raining. There's also a underground tunnel used to get to the other side of the road here. Passengers have to walk by sea water pipes as well as sewage. There's also no lighting. This is an example of a really nice landing step over in Aberdeen. Notice that there is easy road access, there's appropriate signage, there's lighting, there's a covered waiting area in the back, and there's also a life buoy. So our recommendation for landing steps is to make sure, wherever possible, all these things are available. CDD has submitted to you a few years ago plans as to how and where to upgrade the landing steps here at the harbor. And one last thing, this is a picture from Lei Yu Moon. There were 20 or so of these metal, heavy life buoys that were welded to this railing. We felt that this was rather dangerous, and if someone had fallen into the nearby typhoon shelter, could have caused a problem. Recreational vessels and floating communities are the last user group that we're going to talk about today. So here we see some floating villages, a rowboat, some sailing boats out racing. Basically what they need is sheltered water to tie up their boats in, and in that sheltered water, easy and convenient ways to make it to their boats. This can, at least, this should be a multitude of landing steps, but in the best scenarios, there should be a floating dock where people can walk to their boats instead of having to pay someone else to take them in their boat to their community or their sailboat.
Here we see the sheltered water reserved for recreational vessels and floating communities inside the harbor. It's really not a lot. In fact, only about 6% of the total sheltered water in the territory is actually in the harbor. This can be a problem because, as we see from this graph, licensed pleasure vessels have been steadily increasing in Hong Kong for the last 8 or so years. So our recommendation here is, our first recommendation here, is to make sure that there are convenient land-water interfaces in future developments, such as the Kai Tak cruise terminal, the Causeway Bay Typhoon Shelter after the Central Wanchai Bypass, and the ex-public cargo working area directly to the west of that typhoon shelter. Additionally, the Yatong Bay area could include a small marina, and the Chao Kei Wan Typhoon Shelter could include a small dock system for the community users there to make it to their boats. Now a bit about sheltered water. It's important to community users because they should have a right to the sheltered water because they've always been there. They've been here for the last several hundred years. They're an important part of the cultural heritage of Hong Kong. Pleasure vessels need sheltered water in the harbor because the farther away they have to, or people have to store their boats, the less valuable that water becomes to them. They want to store their boats where they live and where they want to be, and where they want to be when they're in the boat is in the harbor. So our first recommendation on how to do that is to expand sheltered water, specifically here in the Tokwar Wan Typhoon Shelter area. Just a simple expanding of the breakwaters again in Causeway Bay. By extending and moving some of the breakwaters, we can add much more space. Notice also in the ex-public cargo working area, it can be turned into actual sheltered water by removing the pier on the left and moving it to Kettle Island.
Here we will discuss some of the waterfront redevelopment plans that we have looked at. And the most important urban design guideline is to create an active waterfront with a wide range of available activities, not just the walled-off section of the harbor that does not permit any recreational uses or tourism-related activities. So here we have the current Kai Tak plan. There will be 3 landing steps and 2 public piers, but that is insufficient for such a long waterfront. As mentioned before, we would recommend a ferry and or a public pier to be built at the end of the runway where the cruise near where the cruise terminal will be, as well as incorporating other plans into the development process, such as the rowing center in the NOAA, or expanding the Tokai Wan Typhoon Shelter, and building a small marina in that little section to the right over there. Next is the current plan for Central. There will be 3 additional landing steps, which is hardly any new interfaces. The 2 existing public piers will not be changed, but there is an alternative plan submitted by the UDA. Again, the public piers are left alone, but the PIA berth is moved out into the water, so we have a more continuous promenade, as well as easier access to that berth. There's also room for a floating museum and a small sheltered area for smaller boats. Here's the plan for Wan Chai. There is a water sports center, space for ticketing kiosks and landing steps on that breakwater. Note that that breakwater will have to again move to the east for that area to become sheltered water. And the existing ferry piers are also untouched over there. This is a now outdated plan from the Royal Hong Kong Yacht Club. There are many landing steps all over the area, as well as 2 large mooring zones where people can actually walk to the boats on those pontoons as opposed to having to take the sampan to get to the boats. Again, the ferry pier is unmoved. And then we can note how this plan very closely resembles an example of a good waterfront design. And just as a reminder, we would like to propose the expansion of the Causeway Bay Typhoon Shelter. And our overarching recommendation is to include
convenient land and water interfaces in future developments on Victoria Harbor's waterfront. So now we'll do a quick rundown of our recommendations again, just so we hope they will stick in your minds. Our first recommendation was to add more piers and improve their quality. This is for both ferries and recreation or tourism, and this is especially around the areas of the Kai Tak Cruise Terminal and the Western Kowloon Cultural District when they're finished, because those are going to have lots of people, tourism hubs, so you definitely want to be able to get those people around the harbor as quickly and efficiently as possible. We would also like to improve the landing steps, as the CEDD has shown. The landing steps need shelter, they need lights, they need railings, and they need real life buoys. We would also like to increase the amount of sheltered water. This will also help increase the amount of sheltered water for the tourism boats, which would very much like to be in the harbor, along with the pleasure boats. And as we said, the best places to do this are in Toko Wan and in Causeway Bay. We'd also like to include convenient land water interfaces in future developments, as the plan from the Royal Hong Kong Yacht Club showed. We should also always remember to prioritize the waterfront for the water-based users when developing the waterfront, because they can obviously only use the waterfront, so it should be left for them. We're going to look at a couple other places that have very good land water interfaces, very good harbors. This is Cape Town in South Africa. As you can see on the left, there are government boats, so you have fire boats, police boats. On the right, there are leisure boats. There's a promenade in the foreground. There's cargo in the background. There are lots of restaurants, lots of people. So this is an example of a very good waterfront. Another very good waterfront is in Vancouver, Canada, where they have promenades and boats on a pontoon system, so you can just walk right to the boats. This is much better than the system in Hong Kong, which is the fore-aft mooring system. As mentioned, you have to take a sampan or a lawa to get to your boat, whereas in Vancouver or other places with this pontoon mooring system, you can simply walk to your boat. In Singapore, there's lots of restaurants on the waterfront, lots and lots of people, lit landing steps, there are boats moored. It's a very vibrant, active, beautiful waterfront. So this is the kind of thing we'd like to see in Hong Kong. If you want to look at some of our recommendations in more detail or see extra recommendations, we have those in the briefing in paragraphs 15 to 27. Now, this is an 8-week study, and we're 6 weeks in, so we still have 2 weeks left, but it will still be there will still be more work left to do, and as people of influence, we would very much like to suggest that our research be continued, and everything should be looked at to make sure we can make the best harbor possible. Now, we are aware that a lot of our recommendations have wide-ranging implications, such as not going along with the protection of the harbor ordinance, or changing some of the land users or controls of facilities, but if we want to make Victoria a truly living harbor, then some things have to be done. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Obviously, very comprehensive survey done, and you know, very thoughtful of your team. Maybe I start off with one question. Did Paul take you out for seafood, Liam?
I believe he's going to be taking us next week.
Comments, feedbacks?
Oh, yes.
Chairman, I'd like to address the issue of the protection of the harbor ordinance, because in many of their presentations there are suggestions of work on the waterfront that would require reclamation. I have briefed the board of the protection of the scientific press of the harbour last week on these issues, and the discussion, if I can repeat some of the issues that came up in the discussion, they have briefed now senior counsel for further advice on the issue. But the general tone of the discussion is that the feeling is that the failure to implement works which facilitate enjoyment and the use of the harbour would ultimately sterilize the harbour. It would deny the harbour its historic role as a marine facility and a safe haven for a vessel, and it would significantly diminish the value of this public asset. It has never been the intention of the protection of the harbour ordinance, and it's a matter of wrong interpretation if we go down this route. So there is, and there may well be in layman's term, bad reclamation and good reclamation. Bad reclamation reduces the harbor for reasons which can be avoided, such as development and traffic, and there is good reclamation which adds value to the harbor, so if we are going to be protecting the harbor, then we need to protect not only the physical harbor, but also the use of the harbor. On that basis, we've briefed senior counsel for further advice on the issue of the projects and harbor owners. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? You talked first again, and please enjoy your rest of the study tour. I guess you have 2 more weeks, and hope you also find the experience fruitful and beneficial. Thank you. Thanks again.